Support for 89.7 NPR News comes from the James at Ohio State, providing access to the most advanced cancer treatments available from a team specialized in treating just one type of cancer, yours. Learn more at cancer.osu.edu/choosethejames.
Welcome to All Sides with Amy Jurevich. This is our membership drive. More about that in just a minute. The days are getting shorter, the temperatures are getting colder, and if you spend a lot of time outdoors tending to your garden, you'll want to know how to take care of it during the winter months. And if you don't have a green thumb but enjoy the beauty of public gardens, the Chadwick Arboretum and Learning Gardens are a great place to enjoy nature. Here to tell us about upcoming projects at the Arboretum is Laura Dieter, Director of the Chadwick Arboretum and Learning Gardens. Welcome to All Sides, Laura.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So the Chadwick Arboretum Gardens consist of three main areas, the Arboretum North, the Learning Gardens, and the Lane Avenue Gardens. So for someone who hasn't visited, can you tell me a little bit about all three?
Sure. Technically, we actually have five areas. Oh. You hit the three main ones. Those are our biggest ones. And then we also do the Block Cancer Survivor Park and the Green Roof on top of Howlett Hall.
Okay.
But the three main ones, Arboretum North is approximately 30 acres. It's behind the 4-H Center, just west of the Schottenstein Center off of Fred Taylor Drive. And it's got walking paths. It's got a 3.5-acre lake. So it's a great place to come and be. In a more wild area, we leave it a little bit more natural. We have a wonderful welcome garden. We have a rain garden that our wonderful volunteers take care of. We have been trying to keep the invasives under control. And our new assistant manager, horticulture person, Jim, he's been on honeysuckle removal rampage lately. So we're doing a good job trying to keep that plant under control. So that's Arboretum North. Bring your dog, come walk around, enjoy the beauty of nature. You can almost pretend that 315 is not right there. The Lane Avenue Gardens are just south of the Schottenstein Center along Lane Avenue. So they run between Fife Road and Olentangy River Road. So if you've ever driven past the Schottenstein Center, look on that south side and you're looking at Chadwick Arboretum, which is kind of cool. So that's a large portion of our woody plant collection. So we have deciduous trees. We have a lot of conifers. There are some gardens in there, but we do a lot more of the woody plants, more like a traditional arboretum. Then our learning gardens are right in front of Howlett and Cottman Hall, and they run from those buildings kind of out to Woody Hayes Drive. And that's where a lot of our herbaceous collection are, so we have the cultivar trials right out front. So if you're driving on Woody Hayes and you look there, you'll see the cultivar trials. It's all these annuals and things, so it's very colorful in the summertime. We also have our perennial collection. A lot of our spaces are named spaces. So we just redid the Stephen Still Garden. And we have like the Van Fossen Wildflower Garden. We have the Rose Garden there. There are shade gardens there. So if you're coming and wanting to learn about perennials and annuals, there are some woody plants there. But if you're coming to learn about perennials and annuals, that's the place to go and look at all these pretty flowers.
Is the Arboretum open to the public certain hours or any time you can just walk around?
Officially, we would say sun up to sundown. But the reality is this is an active college campus and you can find people wandering through it almost all the time.
And anyone in the public can come. It's not just for the students, right?
Oh, right. It's completely open to the public. Please, please come visit. We'd love to have you.
And I'm assuming that in certain places you have signs identifying things so people know what they're looking at.
So most of the woody plants do have signs, or at least try to have them have signs. I naively thought that would be the easy part of this job. Turns out to be it's one of the harder parts of the job. But yes, most of the woody plants do have signs. The herbaceous plants, not so much. All of the annuals have a tag out there saying what company they're from, what cultivar they are. So all of the annuals do have tags if you'd like to come see those.
This is our fall membership drive on 89.7 NPR News, and I'm Amy Jurevich. And we have a special gift this hour for everyone out there who loves nature and loves public radio. When you make a gift today, your thank you gift will be a pair of native wildflower perennial plants. These plants will be purchased by WOSU and then donated on your behalf to Chadwick Arboretum. They will be planted in a special wildflower garden that we're going to talk more about in a minute. If you give $10 a month right now or make a one-time gift of $120, this can be your thank you gift. Give at WOSU.org or call us 866-897-9678. The Catherine Van Fossen Wildflower Garden on Ohio State's University's campus is where these plants are going to go. There's a space that was designed by students, and it's in the Learning Gardens of the Arboretum. So your native plants will help WOSU share a message of conservation. And if you love public radio and love public gardens and love plants in general, then this is the perfect hour for you to make your gift and join us at WOSU. It's a monthly gift of $10. Or a one-time gift of $120. And you will get these plants that WOSU will purchase, these wildflower plants, on your behalf and then donate them to Chadwick. They will be planted and your flowers will bloom in the spring. Give now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. So let's talk about this project, the Catherine H. Van Fossen Wildflower Garden. Tell me about the garden, and well, maybe we'll start with who Catherine Van Fossen was. How about that?
That was something I was unprepared to talk about. So all I know at this point is what I know from the endowment that was set up to maintain this wildflower space. Was set up by a family who has a very much interest in wildflowers and native plants. And so we have this space, which is east of Howlett Hall, that was dedicated to that family and as a wildflower garden.
Okay.
And when I first started in 2023, so I started this position in August of 23, and there were two very large, very beautiful river birch there. And they'd been there for years. So I was a student here, and I remember learning those plants as a student in horticulture. And it was the following spring, so spring of 24, they started leafing out, these two birch, and then they just died.
Oh, man.
And we don't know what happened. They just died. And this is a plant that doesn't stay safe once it's dead. So they do start falling apart, and they're over sidewalks. There are benches in there. And so we had our landscape facilities and our arborist team come out and take the trees down. So what was a very shaded area became a very sunny area. And rather than go in and clean it all up and figure it out ourselves, I thought this would be the perfect opportunity for our landscape design students to go in there, learn to take measurements, draw it out on paper. They could either use a hand rendering or CAD and draw that out and invent a mostly native wildflower garden. And so they worked with our horticulturist who had some basic ideas. We went through and kind of looked at what was there, took some pictures of the things, and they came up with different plans for the garden.
All right. And have you settled on a plan, or you have multiple plans at this point?
So we have six different plans. There are pros and cons to all of them, right? So there are parts of all of them that we really, really like. All of them, they did very, very well. All are viable designs. So we could immediately just pick one and say, let's run with that. So we could do that. I think what we're probably going to end up doing is picking one and running with most of that, and then picking little bits here and there from all of the other designs, so we can ultimately say that all of the design students were involved in this project.
That's amazing. So the students will get to, if they're here for a few more years, they'll get to see the garden, or they can come back and, you know, enjoy the...
Probably, since they've all graduated, what I'll end up doing is I'll take pictures of the installation and things of that nature, and then I'll text them pictures to say, hey, this is your project.
Yeah, and your project came to life.
Exactly.
So if you give to WOSU right now, we're going to purchase plants, and they'll be donated on your behalf to this special wildflower garden. So whenever we're picking wildflowers for this space, do you have certain things in mind?
So if I were to have done this space, I probably would have done yet a different design, right? And that's the thing with landscape design, is everybody has different ideas. What I love about the fact that the students have come up with this is they had to go and research a lot of native plants. These are plants that a lot of them were not as familiar with. They're very interested in native plants, but they weren't as familiar with them. So there's a lot of different plants out there that they've picked. Some of them picked a lot of ephemerals, such as the trillium and the Virginia bluebells that people may already be familiar with. There are some other plants out there that aren't native, but are Lenten roses that people really like, also because they're deer resistant. And so there's some native sedges that people picked. There are some native shrubs that people picked. So it's going to be an interesting way to install a garden. I'm kind of looking forward to it.
So native was a requirement, though.
We wanted mostly native. So they did not have to be native. So one student, for example, picked a very interesting cultivar of a forsythia, which is the bright yellow flowering shrub in the spring, mm-hmm. which I kind of liked because it's a plant we don't have a whole lot of on campus, and I could use it for teaching purposes in my classes. Mm. But it's non-native, but it's tough, it's durable, it flowers early, so people really like it. So they didn't have to 100% be native. But we wanted mostly natives.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News, and this is our fall membership drive. And when you make a gift today, your thank you gift will be a pair of native wildflower perennial plants. These plants will be purchased by WOSU and donated on your behalf to Chadwick Arboretum. They'll be planted in a special wildflower garden, and they'll be ready to bloom in the spring. Give $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120, and you can be a part of this special partnership between WOSU and Chadwick. The flowers are going to go into the Van Fossen Wildflower Garden on Ohio State's campus, so you can go visit them whenever you visit the Learning Gardens there. $10 a month right now or a one-time gift of $120. Join us and support public radio, and these plants will be donated on your behalf. Give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. So am I correct in saying that people can visit it and the plants will be from WOSU and you'll be able to see them bloom in the spring? Are you going to plant them now or do you have to wait till spring?
So a lot will depend upon the plants that we have chosen for donation and things mm-hmm. and things of that nature, because what we want out of this is to have the most success yeah. for the plants. So we'll come up with a list of plants, and some of them will be available for purchase this fall. A lot of them may not be available for purchase until spring, especially our ephemerals, because they're not doing anything right now.
Right.
So we want to make sure that those plants are successful. But yes, once they're planted, you can certainly come and visit the garden. It's got a sidewalk on it. It's got a pathway that runs through it. There are 3 benches in the area. So there's a little flagstone pathway that runs through it. So please come and visit, and you'll be able to see all kinds of cool things.
So in addition to being in charge of Chadwick, which you said is relatively new for you, about 2 years, is that right?
Yes.
Or about 2 years. You're also a professor of practice of horticulture and crop science. Do
That's
I have
correct.
That right?
That's
all right.
Correct.
So tell me about crop science. What are you teaching?
So I actually teach on the horticulture side of
oh,
things.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. There
no,
we
it's
go.
Fine. I teach on the horticulture side of things. So I teach plant identification, so woody ornamental plants, herbaceous ornamental plants. I teach landscape management, so I teach two of those in the fall. And then in the spring, I teach landscape design, organic gardening, and theme and specialty gardens.
All right. So let's start with the identification. Do you teach your students to be able to identify them, or do you enjoy, there's all kinds of apps out there now where if you like take a picture, it'll tell you what it is. What's your
so
take on that?
So there was actually some peer-reviewed research on the apps that yeah. showed that the most accurate one was accurate maybe 60% of the time.
Oh, that's not good.
No, it's not good. And the least accurate one was accurate about 30% of the time.
That's also not good.
Yes, exactly. So I want my students to have a base level of knowledge. Mm-hmm. I look at it as they're going to be professionals. People are hiring horticulturists. They're hiring designers. They're hiring landscape companies. They're hiring landscape architects. And these are professionals in the industry, and you should have a base level of knowledge. Now, that doesn't mean you have to know every little thing. Doctors look up patient symptoms all the time.
Right.
So I think it's important to know when these apps are accurate. They're very good with common things. But if you have something that's a little more unusual, it takes an expert often to figure out what that plant is.
Is a part of your class, or do you give a test where they're like walking around the garden and have to identify things? Or
oh, that's what we do
yeah.
every week.
Yeah.
So every week we see a new list of plants between 13 and 18 different plants. And then the following week they're given a quiz on those plants.
And how do they do?
Most of the time, they do fantastically. Great. So I've got a good group this semester.
So, okay, so you teach the identification, and then what was the other part you listed?
So in the fall, I teach woody plant identification. I'm also teaching landscape maintenance.
Landscape maintenance. Okay, so tell me about that. What are you teaching them about landscape maintenance? Because I'm thinking it's keeping things clean, but maybe that's the wrong word.
Yes, it is some of that. And each of the students has been assigned a little section in Chadwick, and it's their responsibility to do the maintenance of that section of Chadwick. Mm-hmm. And that could be pulling the weeds, cutting back things at the end of the season, mm-hmm. keeping the seed heads off to make sure things aren't seeding themselves all over the place the following over the winter and the following spring. But it's also, what do I need to think about if I want to go into business or if I want to move up into business? We don't want students who only want to sit on a mower or carry flagstone mm-hmm. for the rest of their life. It's fine if that's what you want to do, mm-hmm. But I want them thinking about how do I move up in a company? And moving up makes them have to think about business decisions, pros and cons. Do we get into snow removal? What's the good about that? What's the bad about that? How do I organize once I've got more than one truck? How do I organize what I'm going to do? So a lot of it is also about business. There's some business skills there. There's estimating and bidding that goes involved in that. So one of our big projects is kind of to build on a small design. We do a quantity takeoff, counting everything that goes into it. Then they'll do an estimate based on that. Then they'll do a landscape maintenance plan based on that. We bring in experts to talk about various aspects that people don't often think about. And we take field trips to public gardens so they can see what kind of maintenance is happening or not happening at certain areas.
What a great class. Are most of the students in the class, do they want to have a landscaping business or work for a company that makes pretty gardens?
Not necessarily. Mm-hmm. It's a class where they can learn a different aspect. So maybe they're not sure about what it is that they want to do. Mm-hmm. And we want to introduce them to yet another area in the world of horticulture. There are so many jobs in the green industry. This is a wonderful area for them to be exposed to.
This is our fall membership drive on 89.7 NPR News, and I'm Amy Jurevich. We have a special gift this hour for everyone out there who loves nature and loves public radio. When you make your gift today, your thank you gift will be a pair of native wildflower perennial plants. These plants will be purchased by WOSU and donated on your behalf to Chadwick Arboretum. They'll be planted in a special wildflower garden. Give $10 a month right now, and you can be a part of this special project. The garden was designed by students, and the plants donated by WOSU will be there to flower in the spring. You can give that gift, that monthly gift of $10, or you can make a one-time gift of $120 right now, and you'll be supporting public radio. It's up to you to protect the future of independent media. It's up to you to protect public media. We bring you facts. We offer you new perspectives. We help you stay informed about the world. But all of this depends on help from people who use this service, who count on it, being here to bring news and information to our community. Can we count on you to make that monthly gift today? Let us know that you're out there. Let us know with your gift of support. And if $10 a month works for you, then you can also participate by joining us in this special wildflower garden project. The Catherine Fossen Wildflower Garden on Ohio State's campus is where your plants will go. The space was designed by students and is in the Learning Gardens of the Arboretum. Your native plants will help WOSU share a message of conservation. So if you love public radio and public gardens and plants in general, this is the perfect time to make a gift. You'll be supporting public radio and you'll be helping a future garden that Ohio State students are going to learn from. Give at WOSU.org. Again, it's a monthly gift of $10 or a one-time gift of $120. That's WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. What's your favorite part of Chadwick Arboretum?
What is my favorite part of Chadwick Arboretum? I love the whole thing.
Yeah.
But I think my all-time favorite part is the fact that I can teach students or anybody who comes out for a tour or wants to wander or I stop them in the gardens about a plant, about plants in general, about how awesome plants are and how it's my and all of our staff at Chadwick responsibility to speak for these organisms that we often kind of ignore a little bit in our in our daily lives. And Chadwick doesn't allow people to ignore the plants. They're right there and they're in your face.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about Chadwick Arboretum this hour with Laura Dieter, Director of Chadwick Arboretum and Learning Gardens. Do other professors use the gardens? I'm sure it's not just your class.
Oh, it's not just my classes. There are classes out there all the time. So there are other horticulture classes that are out there. I've seen entomology classes out there. There are landscape architecture classes out there. There are the School of Environment and Natural Resources has classes out there. So all different kinds of classes, studying all different kinds of things, using different parts of the arboretum for various things.
You mentioned the classes you teach in the fall, so that's what you're teaching right now, right?
Correct.
And then what do you teach in the spring?
So in the spring, I teach landscape design, organic gardening, and theme and specialty gardens.
Okay. Theme and specialty gardens. What's a specialty garden?
So a lot of times when we look at gardens, we just say to ourselves, that is a pretty collection of plants, and that's a valid reason to have a garden in your yard. Maybe you would like a certain theme. Maybe you visited a different country, and so you want a garden in front of your house or behind your house that's kind of modeled after some of the gardens that you saw in a different country. Maybe you would like a classic cottage garden, or you would like a permaculture garden or a children's garden. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of the way we look at the organization of the plants based on, is this just a pretty collection of plants because I like these plants? Or does this garden model itself after something that I had in mind, a cut flower garden, a butterfly garden, a children's garden, mm-hmm. a railroad garden? And that would be a type of theme or a specialty garden.
A railroad garden, would that mean like you're putting a train through your garden? Or what?
Yeah, exactly. That would be a scale model train. So these models are a little bit bigger than the ones that are usually seen in your household. Mm-hmm. And then all of the plants are scaled to make that train look as if it's life-size as it's going through the garden.
That's adorable. All right. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. Join us today for our fall membership drive. You'll be supporting public radio. You can get a gift of $10 a month, give a gift of $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $120. And you can be a part of a wildflower garden at Chadwick Arboretum. The plants will be purchased by WOSU and donated on your behalf to Chadwick. So give right now. Be a part of our membership drive today. Make this hour a great success. $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120. If you're already a member of WOSU and you've been a member at $5 a month for a while, you can up that gift to $10 a month and participate in this great offer. These plants will be blooming in the spring. You can go and visit and see this wildflower garden. Give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. So I mentioned earlier that we were going to talk about Chadwick Arboretum, but then we were going to also talk about getting for our listeners to get their gardens at home ready for the fall and the winter. What should gardeners be doing in October, where we're at right now, you know, as it's starting to get colder? What's your number one advice on your, you know, say you have a vegetable garden and you want to put it to bed for the season?
So vegetables would be one of my general exceptions to cleaning things, and mm-hmm. that is we do want to clean them up.
Okay.
We want to get rid of old stems. We want to get rid of fruit that's fallen. You might want to put them on the compost pile, or if you don't have room for a compost pile, find your lawn and lawn bags and get those out for the city to come and take those to compost those later on. Because if you have a lot of litter, that may be housing diseases. And that's what you don't want in our vegetable gardens.
All right. So don't leave all the tomatoes that I missed picking that fell off. Just don't leave them there.
Yes. I suppose you could leave a few of them and maybe put a few in the corner for the squirrels and things like that. But in general, vegetable gardens, we'd like to clean those up to make sure we're not harboring diseases for the following year.
Okay. So once you clean it up, can you leave the soil alone and just deal with it in the spring?
Yes. Yes. All right. You don't have to do anything this fall. Mother Nature, because a lot of times in Ohio, we have a freeze-thaw, we hope, knock on wood.
Mm-hmm.
And that will turn the soil for us a little bit. And then you can do the rest of your bed prep for your vegetables the following year.
And should I cut back all of my herb plants too that I have? Because right now I have a lot of sage and basil, and it's nearing its end because it was pretty cold, you know.
So basil won't survive once mm-hmm. it gets really, really cold. But sage is technically a small woody plant. Mm. So it actually, if you go to the base of that, you can start to feel a woody trunk forming. It can survive our winters outside. Mm-hmm. And since we don't know how harsh our winter is going to be, generally the recommended rule is wait until spring to see if we've had some dieback. Because if you cut it all the way back and you get dieback, you might actually kill the plant itself.
Mm.
But if you leave it up, it's a semi-evergreen, meaning it'll maintain a good portion of its leaves. It's not going to look very pretty. But then the following spring, as it starts to leaf out, you can see, oh, this branch died, that branch died. I can prune those back. I can shape it. And new leaves will come up from there.
Yeah, I've been with my sage plant for a couple of years. It keeps coming back. And then if I have like dill or parsley, other things like that, just those are going to die off with the cold, right?
So dill you'll want to make sure you get rid of seed heads or that mm-hmm. you're collecting the seed heads, because dill, like fennel, will seed itself all over the place and mm-hmm. then you'll have nothing, a garden of nothing but dill.
And mint, right?
And mint will run it all over the ground.
We have those in pots, so. Okay.
And your parsley, in theory, is a biennial. So if you planted it this year and you were harvesting it this year, the following year it's going to want to bolt, mm-hmm. which is send up a flower stalk and go to seed. So it won't taste as good. So most of the time we treat that plant as an annual.
Okay. All right. So that's the vegetable garden. So what about our other garden beds? Whenever we are going to put them to bed, so to speak,
so
for the winter.
So if your garden is a lot of annuals, your petunias, mm-hmm. your begonias, again, the recommendation would be to clean those up. You can let those go until we have a heavy killing frost, but then you have to put up with the plants being a little more mushy when you take them out of the ground. But you could pretty much start to take those out of the ground as they start looking bad as we get colder and colder over the coming weeks. And then, again, just get rid of that so we're not harboring disease or insect organisms mm-hmm. that might be problems. If your garden is a mix of annuals and perennials, again, you can get rid of the annuals. Then perennials in general, we want to leave. Unless it's really offensive to you that those seed heads or you know a certain perennial is going to go to seed and cause problems for you, you can cut seed heads off and get rid of those. But we like to leave the stems, particularly of our native perennials, our black-eyed Susans, our purple coneflowers, things of that nature, because we do have a lot of solitary stem nesting bees that overwinter in those. And so we'd like to leave those alone.
Stem nesting bees. I have never thought about that. So if you cut them all back, they don't have anywhere to go. Or you kill them if they're already in there, right?
Correct. Okay. Correct. And that's what we don't want to do. Yeah. If you have a large patch of something, you can cut part of it back.
Mm-hmm. What about the idea of all the leaves, the mess of leaves in your garden and all over your yard from all the trees? Are you in favor of the raking them up or leaving them alone?
So I have two large silver maples in my backyard, mm-hmm. and so I do a little bit of both. When they first start dropping, because they've been dropping a lot lately because we were so dry, I actually will clean those up. Mm. And then the second set, once they fully empty all of the rest of their leaves, I will leave those there because, again, we do have overwintering insects. Mm. A little bit of leaf litter on your lawn is not going to harm anything. It's if you've got 3, 4, 5 inches on your lawn, that's where you start to have problems. And that's one less thing I have to do at the end of the season is clean up all of my leaves.
Okay. So the big piles that get really deep, you can clean them up a little bit, but the leaves that are here and there are just fine.
Yeah. And if you have a lot of trees on your property, it's easy enough to bag up some of those. Mm-hmm. And again, you can compost them if you have the space for that on your property. And if you don't, you can send them off to various compost agencies around the city.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about your garden and preparing it for the winter. And we're talking about Chadwick Arboretum this hour with Laura Dieter, director of Chadwick Arboretum and Learning Gardens. And this is our fall membership drive on 89.7 NPR News. Public service journalism, what you find here on 89.7 NPR News, helps you make sense of the world. You get the facts, you get insights, so you know what's happening in Central Ohio and beyond. If this kind of news coverage inspires you to dig deeper and discover more about your community and brings you some peace of mind, then it's up to you to help us out. Protect your public media right now by making a monthly gift at WOSU.org. And on this show, All Sides, we talk about everything. We talk about the news of the day. We have Reporter Roundtable, but we also take breaks from the news of the day and have shows about gardening, about cooking. Everything you can think of is on this show. That's part of the reason it's called All Sides with Amy Jurevich. For our fall membership drive, All Sides is partnering with Chadwick Arboretum. We have a special thank you gift this hour for everyone who loves nature and loves public radio. When you make your gift today, your thank you gift will be a pair of native wildflower perennial plants. These plants will be purchased by WOSU and donated on your behalf to Chadwick Arboretum. They will be planted in a special wildflower garden, so give $10 a month right now or a one-time gift of $120, and this thank you gift can be yours. Give right now at WOSU.org. Don't wait. Give now. Now is the time to support public radio, right now while you are thinking about it. You can also call 866-897-9678. The Catherine Van Fossen Wildflower Garden on Ohio State University's campus is where your plants will go. This space was designed by students. It is a learning garden. It's in the learning gardens of the Arboretum. And your plants will help WOSU share a message of conservation. So if you love public radio and you love public gardens, if you love plants in general, if this type of programming is what you love to listen to on public radio, this is the perfect time to make a gift and show your support. $10 a month right now or a one-time gift of $120. If you're already a member of the station, this is a great time to make an additional gift because you'll be showing that you have extra support. If you've been listening to WOSU more recently in the past few months, this is a great time to give because you'll be showing support for a show like this one, and you'll also get to participate in this wildflower garden. The plants will be donated on your behalf to Chadwick. They're going to plant them. Your flowers will bloom there in the spring. Give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. So one thing that seems to be the talk of the town is the spotted lantern fly. It seems to be everywhere. I don't know if you know much about it. I know you're not an insectologist or whatever. I can't think of the word for that.
Entomologist.
There we go. Yes, I was like, if there's a better word. But what's going on with the spotted lantern fly, man?
Oh my goodness, they are everywhere. Mm-hmm. I have no polite words for this insect.
Mm.
It's gotten very bad. There are other areas where that have it worse than we do it mm-hmm. at Chadwick. If you look up in the Toledo area, for example, it's way worse up there. And Amy Stone is the expert on that. She's, you know, an extension employee. So if people have questions, she's really the one to get in touch with.
Okay.
But for us, they're all over the place. And what we are doing is learning which trees they really like and which trees they really don't. What we've also discovered is they really like milkweed, but that kills them.
Wait, milkweed kills the spotted lantern fly.
Oh, okay. They're eating it.
Good job, milkweed.
Good job, milkweed. Another reason to plant milkweed is okay, if we needed another reason.
Yeah.
But we are discovering the trees that they do like. We are trying to scrape their egg masses as much as possible. Our interns this summer had a competition as to who could catch and squish the most of them. And so that was kind of this running joke between all of the interns. But it's also a good thing because catching and killing as many of these things is what we're trying to do.
So what trees did you find that they like?
So they really like the styrax, which is where we noticed them first plants. It's a small flowering tree with little white flowers. Most of your listeners are probably not as familiar with it. Go out on Google and look up this plant. You'll fall in love with it. Nice little white flowers on it. But then we've discovered them on our gingerbread maple. We've discovered them on our paper bark maple. We've actually discovered them on red maple and silver maple. And they are laying their egg masses on those plants. I don't see as many insects on there in terms of eating and feeding, but they are starting to lay their egg masses on there. And so we're trying to scrape off as many as we possibly can at this point.
So for a homeowner who's seeing a lot in their yard, does that mean that somewhere nearby there's probably egg masses on a tree somewhere if they're seeing them?
Yes.
Yes.
Because this is the time of year that we're a little past their normal egg laying. The eggs are probably already laid and covered and things like that. Mm. So if you look up into the tree, you'll see these 1 or 2 inch, maybe half inch wide, light brown masses that will darken up as they harden off over the next few weeks.
Mm.
And those are the egg masses. And you can use a credit card or any paint scraper if you can reach them and just scrape them off, collect them in a bag, and then squish. Because you don't want the eggs to survive in your Ziploc bag.
Oh, right. So you could throw them away and then they can still...
They may survive that wherever you're throwing them. So yeah, don't put them on a compost pile. Squish and then throw them out.
Squish. All right.
Yeah, that's the big thing that we do around here is squish.
Squish, squish. Okay. So if I look up, you know, what do spotted lanternfly eggs look like, it'll show me, you know, a picture of what this mass is that I'm looking
for.
Yeah,
it's a small flattened mass. They really do blend in with a lot of trees and tree bark. Once you recognize them, you'll pick them out very, very easily.
Are they on the bark or on the leaves or on the branches?
On the bark.
They're on the bark.
They're laying their egg masses on the bark.
But so my maple in my yard is really tall. I mean, I live in Clintonville, so it's like an over 100-year-old tree. Am I going to be, will it be where I can reach or no?
So for older trees, large trees like that, they probably won't be where you can reach.
And smarter than that?
Well, they want to climb up. Their instinct is to climb up. And so you're probably going to have to hire somebody to come out and do that sort of thing.
Okay. I mean, I have no idea. I'm going to have to go. I'll go look later today. okay. So, I mean, normally, you know, I come from a family where we teach our kids if we find an insect in the house, we put them in a cup and we save them and name them and then take them outside. So we don't want to kill them, right? That's just how we do things with our kids.
You can do that too, but if you have spotted lanternflies in your house, squish.
So even in our household, we know like that's what we need to do to take care of them. We have to squish.
For that, this is an invasive pest that can cause a lot of problems in our agronomic crops. In our ornamental crops, they're very destructive. They can get their honeydew all over things, which makes things very sticky, and that attracts a black sooty mold, which makes things very ugly. And so this is an insect that we really do want to take care of as much as possible in terms of trying to kill as many as we possibly can.
When you say they're bad, what do spotted lanternflies kill? Like what do they harm?
So from an ornamental tree perspective, unless your numbers are huge, they're not going to cause a whole lot of damage. Now, they may stress trees, and if your trees are already stressed due from 2 years of drought, for example, and you have spotted lanternfly feeding, a stressed tree may succumb to other diseases and or insects. A healthy tree, they're probably not going to cause a lot of problems, but sooty mold can stain everything underneath. If you have hostas underneath, they'll get all sticky, and that can attract other insects, so that can be a challenge with them. If you are a vintner growing grapes for wine, this is a huge problem. This is an insect that's a huge problem.
Okay.
So this can be an agronomic and food crop production problem.
Are we seeing them up near Lake Erie where all the wineries are?
So we're mostly seeing them, not yet so much in the Northeast, although six Northeast counties were just put under quarantine fairly recently. But we are seeing them a lot in the Toledo area. Mm. They are quite prevalent in Franklin County. So yeah, we want to make sure we try to keep these down so that they're staying out of our crop plants.
This is our fall membership drive on 89.7 NPR News, and you are running out of time to make your gift. We have less than 20 minutes remaining in the hour. We're hoping to hear from 10 more people, 10 people to make a gift this hour in support of public radio and also to get our great thank you gift. Your thank you gift today will be a pair of native wildflower plants that WOSU will purchase on your behalf and then donate them on your behalf to Chadwick Arboretum. They will be planted in a special wildflower garden. Give $10 a month right now, or that can be a one-time gift of $120, and this thank you gift can be yours. The Van Fossen Wildflower Garden is on Ohio State's campus, and that's where the plants will go. The space there is being designed by students, and it's in the Learning Gardens of the Arboretum. So your native plants are going to help WOSU share a message of conservation. And if you love public radio and public gardens and plants in general, this is the perfect time to make a gift, show your support, and support public radio. You know, every story you hear on this station exists because someone out there chose to help. Misinformation is everywhere, which means that fact-based journalism must push back. Your contribution helps us do that. We are committed to reporting honesty and integrity, but we can't do it alone. Your support keeps trusted news strong for this community. Your support right now keeps shows like All Sides and Here and Now and On Point on the radio for all of Central Ohio. So if you can give, now is the time. We're hoping to hear from 10 more people, but we're running out of time this hour. Can you be one of the 10? And that's a monthly gift of $10 or a one-time gift of $120 at WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. And we are talking with Laura Dieter, director of Chadwick Arboretum and Learning Gardens. You mentioned a couple of times the drought. So our grass was looking, everyone's grass was looking a little parched as we headed into the fall here. Do we need to do anything, or is it going to bounce back and be green again in the spring?
Most turf grasses are very tough, and that's how they manage dry times and stressful times, is they simply go dormant. Mm-hmm. And so that's why they were looking a little parched, and because they went dormant during the time when we weren't getting any water. Those should recover, particularly because we often get precipitation in the winter in the form of snow, and that does add to the water in the spring. We usually get rain in the spring, so those should recover. The biggest challenges we're going to have are some of our perennials, including our trees and shrubs. Large trees need a lot of water, and they've now had 2 years of very extreme drought. And so if a person has the ability to supply some water to their trees, their grass will benefit, of course, but the trees will benefit even more, because even our oaks are looking very stressed right now, and that's a lack of water for 2 years.
Oh, so should I water my big giant maple I have?
In theory, yes, you should be watering your big giant maple, or we can look to Mother Nature and say, pretty, pretty please, we could use some water.
Okay. I also wanted to ask you about, so the Chadwick Arboretum and Learning Gardens hosts, you have a monarch butterfly way station. So to help the butterflies along their way, can you tell us about that habitat and what projects you have going on there?
So that's a habitat right now that is not an active renewal project, and like the Van Fossen Wildflower Garden is, and the Steve Still Garden was. That project, that is a wildflower garden that right now is just kind of left to its own devices. We have volunteers who come in and kind of make sure that things aren't moving all over the place and cleaning up some of the weeds and things like that. But there's a lot of milkweed in there. There are a lot of plants in there that you see pollinators on. It is a wildlife garden. And so we do have, you know, your squirrels and your bunnies and things like that. Lots of birds go in there and plucking seeds off there. So there's a lot of different woody plants and perennial plants that are valuable for our pollinators.
What exactly is a monarch way station? What does that mean?
So when they're again, and I'm not an entomologist, so probably somebody knows a lot more about this than I do. But when the monarchs are migrating, they will stop in gathering areas. And what we're trying to do is get, as people plant more and more of these milkweeds and other pollinator gardens, the insects that migrate can recognize that that is a place that I can go and get some food, I can restock on, you know, carbohydrates and continue on my way.
Does this project or does this area tie in at all with the Ohio State Bee Lab? Do you guys work with them at all?
So we don't work directly with the Bee Lab, but we are always trying to plant things that are beneficial for pollinators and bees.
Okay. So is I don't really know much about the Bee Lab. Is it separate from you guys?
Yes. Yeah. So it's within the Department of Entomology.
Oh, right. Okay. And I'm getting entomology and agriculture mixed up here.
That's okay. Entomology and horticulture are intimately related.
What do you have to do at the Arboretum to get things ready for the winter? Do you do a lot, or is it
It's very similar to what I have said for homeowners, except on a much larger scale. So things that we know that are going to seed themselves around and cause trouble, we'll cut the flowers off of those to make sure they're not going to seed. A lot of other things we actually leave up so that the crowns of the plant is a little bit more protected. If there are insects utilizing stems, if there are animals utilizing, you know, clusters of plants as nesting sites, we leave those up for them.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. You are running out of time to make that gift. We have less than 15 minutes remaining in the hour. We're looking to hear from 10 people to support public radio right now. You can give in any amount. We're looking for participation. If you enjoy hearing shows about gardening and protecting plants and learning about spotted lanternflies and all of the things that you find on public radio, then now is the time to be generous and make a gift of support. You can give in any amount, but if a monthly gift of $10 works for you, then your thank you gift will be wildflower perennial plants. These plants will be purchased by WOSU and donated on your behalf to Chadwick Arboretum. They'll be planted in a special wildflower garden. That's a monthly gift of $10 or a one-time gift of $120 right now. Make that gift. Don't wait till the end of the hour. Everyone always waits until the end of the hour, but you can give right now and support this show at WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. The Van Fossen Wildflower Garden on Ohio State's campus is where your plants will go. They'll be in a space that was designed by students. It's in the Learning Gardens of the Arboretum, and future students will learn from your plants as well. Your native plants help WOSU share a message of conservation. So if you love public radio, public gardens, and plants in general, this is the perfect time to make a gift. Give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And right now, generous listeners keep us going at WOSU. But not everyone who's listening right now can actually make a gift. And not everyone donates. But here's the thing. With federal funding being completely cut from public media, a gift from you is more important than ever right now. You have the power to make a difference right now when you give at WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. So you mentioned to me before we started talking, when we were off the air, that yesterday you spent the day at the Ohio High School Landscape Olympics, which I find that's fascinating because I didn't know there was a Landscape Olympics. Can you tell us about it?
Sure. So this is up at CFAES Worcester. So that's the College of Food, Ag, and Environmental Science, Worcester's campus. This was the 10th year for it. So it's the 10-year anniversary. It is a competition for high school students and can open to any high school in the state of Ohio to come in and compete in about 15 different events. And they are competing in things like woody plant identification, sod installation, landscape plant installation, truck and trailer operation, skid steer operation, a hardscape installation, low voltage lighting. So they have many, many different events that they can compete in that kind of caters to their skills, the skills of their high school instructor, and they are here being judged by professionals. So a company would sponsor an event, and that company would provide the judges. The students would compete in the event, and they are judged by professionals in the industry as to how their skills are developing.
Is it high schools from, like, all over Ohio?
Okay. High schools from all over Ohio. So there were approximately 260 students yesterday from 16 different high schools.
And were you one of the judges? I'm sorry, I missed.
It's hosted by Ohio State University on the Worcester campus.
Okay.
And I do the woody plant test.
So what are you testing?
So we're testing on trees and shrubs. And so we walk around the campus and I'll say, this is plant number one or whatever number we're on. And they have to write down the scientific and the common name.
Oh, okay. All right. So it's more of that plant identification.
It is exactly that plant identification.
Without the phone app.
No phone apps.
All right.
No phones.
I want to say thank you to Kimmy Hines from Lancaster. Thank you, Kimmy, for your gift of support. And also thank you to Margaret Connor from Galena. Thank you for supporting WOSU. So 8 more gifts to go this hour. We're looking to hear from 10 more people before the hour ends. We have about 9 minutes remaining. So thank you to those 2. Now we need to hear from you. You can make a gift of $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120, and you can be a part of our Chadwick Arboretum Wildflower Garden partnership that we have going on here at WOSU. Give now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. I want to say thank you to Tim Pollard from Columbus. We also heard from Nancy Kaler in Columbus. So now that means we have 6 to go. See, I told you everyone waits till the end of the hour. 6 more gifts to go this hour to make this hour a great success. We have about 8 minutes remaining in the hour, so we can definitely get 6 more gifts. They can be in any amount. We love participation. We love you showing your support for hours like this on 89.7 NPR News when you give right now. So give while you're thinking about it, while this hour is on the air. You can make this hour a great success. But if $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $120 fits into your budget, you can get our special thank you gift, a pair of native wildflower perennial plants. These plants will be purchased by WOSU and donated on your behalf to Chadwick Arboretum. They'll be planted in the Van Fossen Wildflower Garden. It's a space designed by students. You can go visit them. So donate right now to support public radio. $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120 at WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. 6 more gifts to go before the hour ends, and we can meet our little mini goal for this hour of All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. All right, I want to know more about the Olympics. So the high school students all go to the Worcester campus. They compete. They're taking classes in high school about this too, or
so many of them are in our career centers.
Okay,
and so they would go, depending upon whether they're, you know, how that's organized at their particular school, they would go for their junior and their senior year to get career type training. In this case, it's in the world of horticulture, and so they're competing in all of these different events and putting their skills, the things that they've learned over a couple of years, to the test.
Did you see a lot of promise in the future?
Oh, I see lots of promise in the future. We could put every high school student in the state of Ohio to work in the landscape area.
Aww.
So we need dedicated students who are interested in the world of horticulture, whether they want to do hardscape installation or they want to install plants or they want to go into tree care. There's lots and lots of job opportunities in this area. There really are. And events like this gives that student an opportunity to put themselves out there and be judged by professionals. And so those students, in my mind, are already ahead of everybody else because it's a hard thing to do, to be judged. And so I'm proud of every single one of those kids that competed yesterday.
Are they most of the high school students, are they from high schools that are in more rural areas, or
Not necessarily, some of them are in more urban areas. Yeah.
Okay. So it's not just necessarily that they have big farms or gardens or anything. I mean, there's students who at a career or technical school in more of an urban area can this too.
Yes.
All right. Well, and then what about at the college level? Do they have Olympics just like this high school Olympics?
Actually, they do. So the High school level is put on by the Ohio Green Industry Association. Hmm. The college level one is the National Collegiate Landscape Competition, and it's put on by the National Association of Landscape Professionals, NALP.
Okay.
And it travels the country to a different college every year. So this coming spring, it'll be at Michigan State University. It's been at Colorado State, NC State, Brigham Young. So it travels around the country every year. And it's the same thing, except bigger.
Hmm.
So the college one is about 28 different events. It'll bring in between 600 and 800 students in industry all over the place. It's one of the largest career fairs for the landscape and green industry. So if students are looking for internships or jobs, there's places to do for that. And again, same thing. This is college students putting themselves out there to be judged by professionals.
Do you take a team?
We have in the past. Ohio State has taken a team in the past. We have not fielded a team in the last couple of years, and so we're hoping to get one next spring.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News, and we have 4 minutes remaining in the hour. I want to say thank you to Lisa Miller from Galloway and Angela Petro from Columbus. Thank you both for your gifts of support. 4 more gifts to go in 4 minutes. That's perfect. We can get one more gift a minute, and we can meet our goal for this hour. If a monthly gift of $10 fits into your budget, then you can get our special thank you gift that is tied to this hour that's all about gardening and the Chadwick Arboretum. Your thank you gift will be a pair of wildflower perennial plants. These plants will be purchased by WOSU and donated to Chadwick on your behalf. They'll go into the Van Fossen Wildflower Garden on Ohio State's campus, and there's a space there that was designed by students in the Learning Gardens of the Arboretum. This is the perfect time to make a gift if you love public radio, public gardens, and plants in general. Show your support this hour by making a gift in any amount, but if $10 a month works for you, you can participate and get these plants, and you'll be able to visit the garden and see them bloom in the spring. WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. I want to say thank you to Chris Shannon in Belle Fountain. And Chris Shannon says that she started a public garden there in Belle Fountain, and she enjoys Chadwick, and she's a Columbus State student. So Chris Shannon has visited your Chadwick area. So that means we have 3 to go. 3 to go this hour. 866-897-9678 or WOSU.org. A little less than 3 minutes, we can hear from 3 more people. Just to end on, I asked you earlier what your favorite part of Chadwick is. Tell me a little bit more about, for someone who's never visited Chadwick, if you want to try to entice them, you know, to drive to Ohio State's campus, you know, from wherever they are, why should they visit?
They should visit because they can see over 400 different species of plants. They can hug large trees. They can walk our pathways. They can come meditate and contemplate at the labyrinth. They can sit on a bench and watch some of the wildlife. They can wander the Van Fossen Garden or the Still Garden or the Rose Garden. If you have a type of plant that you like, we probably have a type of that plant at Chadwick, and you can come visit, sit, talk to the plants, appreciate them, appreciate the shade that they give, and walk our pathways for some exercise.
And it's free.
And it's free.
We should mention that.
And by the way,
yeah,
while you're out there, go and find Annabelle, our praying mantis sculpture in the Lane Avenue Gardens.
Which you might be able to spy a little bit from the road, right?
You might be able to spy it from the road, but she's better off in person down right next to her.
Yeah, you should get out of your car and see her. I didn't know. What's her name? I didn't know she had a name.
Annabelle.
Annabelle. All right. Well, of course she has a name. It has to have a name.
Of course.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're down to 2 minutes remaining in the hour. Thank you to Sarah Hofinger in Columbus. Thank you, Sarah, for your gift of support. So that means that we have, and we heard from Linda Brown in Sunbury. Thank you, Linda. So we have just one more gift to go. One more gift to go this hour. We can meet our goal. 866-897-9678 or WOSU.org. I was losing count a little bit, but I think we're at one more gift to go. We have a little over a minute remaining. 866-897-9678 or WOSU.org. Laura Dieter, Director of Chadwick Arboretum and Learning Gardens, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. It's been fun.
And this is your last minute. This is the time to make a gift of support. Give at WOSU.org. And when you make a gift today, your thank you gift can be a pair of native wildflower perennial plants. These plants will be purchased by WOSU and donated on your behalf to Chadwick Arboretum. They'll be planted in a special wildflower garden. So $10 a month as a sustaining member, a one-time gift of $120, and this thank you gift can be yours. You're going to help WOSU share a message of conservation. If you love public radio and love public gardens and love plants in general, this is the perfect time to make a gift. You can make an additional gift if you're already a member of the station, but you can show your support right now for shows like this one. 1 minute remaining at 866-897-9678 or WOSU.org. This is listener-supported WOSU-FM and HD1 Columbus. Again, this is your last chance to support us this hour. Make this hour a success. Give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And thanks.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.